Make Yourself an Ark, Part 4, The New Age Exposed. At Akita in Japan, Mary warned the world again in 1973, and in doing so, seemed to link the prophecy of Isaiah with the great miracle of the sun at Fatima on the 13th of October 1917. At Akita in modern times, for 6 years, a wooden statue of Our Lady wept from the eyes on 101 occasions, the last occasion being the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrow, September 15, 1981. Japanese scientific investigation proved that the tears from the statue were identical with human tears. There was also a flowing of blood from the right hand of the statue. The Bishop of the Diocese, Monsignor John Ito, after his investigations of events connected with this statue, including miraculous cures, issued a pastoral letter that recognized that supernatural events had occurred, and he allowed the veneration of Our Lady of Akita, quote, in all places of my diocese, until the Holy See passes its final judgments in this matter. This was given in April 1984. The bishop's pastoral letter covers the three messages given by Our Lady to the Japanese sister Agnes, who was connected with the events in a special way. All the messages were given by voice from the statue. It is the third message that links with Fatima. Part of this message was, the Heavenly Father will send a terrible punishment over the whole of mankind if people do not repent and change their lives. The Father will send a chastisement with no precedent, heavier than that of the deluge. At that time, fire will fall from the sky, and the major part of humanity will die from this calamity, priests as well as lay people. The survivors will suffer so much that they will envy the dead. End of the message. Significantly, that message was given on the 13th of October, 1973. The anniversary of the great miracle of the sun at Fatima on the 13th of October 1917. Bishop Ito has said to pilgrims in the Akita Chapel, it is the message of Fatima. It is also significant that a similar message was given by Our Lady to Father Gobbi before the same statue at Akita on the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, September 15, 1987. It will be remembered, as it was in 1973 at Our Lady's Shrine in Fatima, that Father Gobbi received his first message from Our Lady, together with the command to found her Marian movement of priests, which has spread all over the world in a way that can be truly described as evangelical. Now at Akita in 1987, Our Lady gave Father Gobbi a message that included this: I have caused miraculous tears to fall from the eyes of this image of mine more than 100 times in over a period of some years. I am weeping because humanity does not receive my motherly invitation to conversion and to its return to the Lord. My extraordinary appeals are not accepted. The signs which I give of my immense sorrow are not believed. A punishment worse than the flood is about to fall on this poor and perverted humanity. Fire will come down from heaven. This will be the sign that the justice of God has already fixed the hour of his great manifestation. Already that which I foretold at Fatima, which I revealed there in the third message entrusted to my little daughter, is being fulfilled. And so the moment has come even for the church of her great trial, because the iniquitous man will set himself up within her, and the abomination of desolation will enter into the holy temple of God. I am weeping because, in great numbers, the souls of my children are being lost, are going to hell. Also in a message to Father Gobbi in 1986, Our Lady had said, there is happening today what happened at the time of the flood. These words are deeply revealing because the time before the flood was characterized by wholesale human involvement with demonic forces, according to the visions of Catherine Emmerich. Serious reports in our time claim that drugs, pornography, and Satanism are spreading in what has been described as epidemic proportions. Secret doctrine at the base of all pagan religions, glorified by Helena Blavatsky, prophet of the New Age movement, also glorifies the pre-flood world of demonic occultism and glorifies Lucifer as the true God of light and glorifies all the practices condemned in the Bible. Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, in his report on the faith in 1985, sounded a warning against the spread of Satanism when he said, "The atheist culture of the modern West is still alive thanks to the freedom from the fear of demons that Christianity brought. But if this redeeming light of Christ should ever go out, even with all its wisdom and all its technology, the world would fall again into terror and hopelessness. There are already signs of this return of obscure forces as satanic cults are spreading in the secular world." End of quote. A major effort has been going on for years to create conditions for greater acceptance of Satanism as a bona fide alternate religion. We have noted its acceptance within the American armed forces. In the campaign to wipe out the light of Christ and other targeted religions, even as far back as 1922, the Bolsheviks held the Communist International Congress of Peoples of the East in Baku, developing the notion of Islamo-Marxism and assigned a special role to the supposed special values of Eastern mysticism. Perhaps the Sufi assault originated there. A similar move was made in Latin America. The Latin America Communist Congress was held in Buenos Aires, Argentina, in 1929, where plans were made for an assault on Catholicism in Latin America. A favored method of attack is the feigned anger often expressed in art, claiming that the people of Central and South America had been robbed of their true identity by the forced imposition of Christianity. The true identity, of course, that the Marxists have in mind involves a return to pre-Christian ritual practices, voodoo, and the like, that would incorporate sacrifice as part of those rites, human sacrifice being the worst form. The pagan rituals of Aztec Mexico, for example, involved human sacrifice of a terrible nature, sometimes thousands of victims offered to their sun gods in a single day. The inauguration of a pagan temple in 1487 involved about 20,000 such human victims. The site of that temple, a stone's throw away from the Catholic Cathedral in Mexico City, is a constant reminder that the direct intervention of the Mother of God, Our Lady of Guadalupe, resulted in the conversion to Catholicism of over 9 million Aztecs in just a few years. What a deliverance that was from satanic occultism. Between 1982 and 1985, in 7 issues of a magazine, America Latina, a Soviet team led by Yuri Narosov published their work on general reconstruction of the ethno-cultural traditions of the Mayan race. One of those articles in October 1982, beliefs attributed to the Mayans concerning the role of blood and the relationship of the removed palpitating heart to human reincarnation were dealt with. According to the Soviets, the world of the Mayans was one inevitable catastrophe, which could be postponed only through including human sacrifice. The supposed linkage between the removal of a palpitating human heart and human reincarnation points to Gnostic influence. In the Aztec ritual, sacrifice, tearing out the heart of a living victim was a common procedure, a process that took only a few seconds for each victim. What the Marxist culture shapers and anthropologists are trying to do is to inculcate an ideology that makes for a return to primitivism under the guise of returning to one's ancestral roots. Such a return easily leads to terrorism, and very many terrorists reject Christianity, the resulting vacuum easily being filled with Satanism. The Peruvian terrorist group Sendero Luminoso directly links terrorism and Satanism. The Marxist plot, claiming to be a return to ancestral roots, is used again here. The Sendero claim that they based themselves on the magical death cult of the Huarais, who preceded the Incas in Peru, and they adjust their guerrilla actions to conform with the Huarai lunar calendar. They also claim that they are protecting the poor people of Peru against exploiters who would impose industrialization upon their supposed indigenous Indian culture. In their strange way of protecting the poor, a mass grave was discovered in August 1984, containing the bodies of 15 children whose throats had been slit by members of the Sendero Luminoso, which means shining path. Also, the mother of a Peruvian mayor who refused to resign was tied to a chair and burned alive. It is known that the leadership of the Sendero was recruited from the Sorbonne University in Paris and was composed of French ethnologists, anthropologists, and some missionaries. There is a connection with the University of San Cristobal in Ayacucho, Peru. It has been reported that since the early 1960s, Gnosticism has been used as a battering ram for Soviet influence in South America and had succeeded where openly based Marxist-Leninism had little success. What is called the Gnostic Catholic Church is part of the Ordo Templi Orientis, OTO, meaning Order of the Temple of the Orient or Oriental Templars. It is modern Illuminism, a powerful avowed Satanist cult. The organ of the sect, the Equinox, once stated that it was Karl Kellner who revived the esoteric organization of the OTO and initiated the plan now happily complete of bringing all occult bodies again under one governance. In the same publication of the Equinox, Volume 3, Number 1, 1919, there is a Gnostic Mass in which Karl Kellner and Theodore Rus are named as saints. Rus was a supremo of esoteric Rosicrucianism that internationally penetrated most associations and of which English Freemasonry was a child. From notes written by Theodore Rus and from correspondence between him and Kellner, it was revealed that the Ordo Templi Orientis was an organization formed for the express purpose of substituting the phallic religion for Christianity. Prominent persons connected with this organization at its start included the powerful Mason John Yarker, who signed Madame Blavatsky's Masonic Diploma. Also MacGregor Mathers, Masonic author of several books, including The Kabbalah Unveiled, and The Tarot Cards, The Key of Solomon, The King, and The Book of the Sacred Magic of Abraham Mellon. Also connected with the organization was Aleister Crowley, Arch-Satanist. This order of Oriental Templars, and how revealing that choice of words, or Ordo Templi Orientis, claimed a body of initiates in whose hands are concentrated the wisdom and knowledge of many Masonic bodies and occult societies. Some of those included are the Gnostic Catholic Church, the Order of the Knights of the Holy Ghost, the Order of the Illuminati, the Order of the Temple, Knights Templar, Hidden Church of the Holy Grail, the Martinist Order, Swedenborg Rite, Rite of Mizraim, Rite of Memphis, Hermetic Society, Ancient and Accepted Scottish Rite, Holy Order of Rosicrucians of Irridum, etc. Apart from its secret phallic doctrine, the master organization, OTO, aimed at reviving Gnosticism, united with study of the Jewish Kabbalah, esoteric Lamaism, and Indian Yogism, a combination that would lead to the practical application of Eastern sorcery and Western witchcraft, Wicca. Medicine and hypnotism occupied an important place. All this was to serve the materialistic ends of the Masonic order. It has already been noted on these tapes that according to the Jewish Encyclopedia, the Hindu philosophy, more than any other, influenced the Zohar of the Jewish Kabbalah. There is an intimate connection according to other sources. Adoration of the phallus, phallic worship, constitutes one of the most popular dogmas of the Hindus. The Masonic symbol, palladium, comes from pala, the Hindu for the male organ. Edward Selam, in his Annotations on the Sacred Writings of the Hindus, informs us on page 8, quote, "Of the host of Hindu divinities, Siva, or Shiva, is the god whom they are specially delighted to honor. As the destroyer, one who revels in cruelty and bloodshed, this terrible deity, who has not inaptly been compared to the Moloch of Scripture, suggests most our idea of the devil. The Brahmins say that Siva is powerful and cruel, and that it is necessary to appease him." End of quote. The Brahmins say Siva must be appeased, but they also say the same about Kali. Kali is a Hindu goddess, wife of Siva, whose attribute is destruction and whose thirst is for blood and death sacrifices. The thugs who existed in India for centuries strangled their victims in honor of Kali, who hates the human race and delights in human blood, they believe. The root word of the name Calcutta is place of Kali. Increasingly, in public schools, especially in America, yoga is being taught to children. One of those forms of yoga is tantric, esoteric yoga, which teaches that at the base of the spine lies coiled like a snake a latent power called Kundalini, meaning the earring one, a name of the goddess Kali. According to Cumbie in The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, page 189, many New Agers fervently believe they are working to raise the fires of Kundalini, a goddess in the form of a snake at the base of the spine. And on page 176, she quotes from a book, Journey to Inner Space, Finding God in Us, by a Baptist minister, Dr. Romney, who writes about the Kundalini Shakti, a mysterious fire of love that arises up within us through daily sincere periods of meditation and which transports us into a new land of expanded consciousness. Cumbie adds, Dr. Romney has been seduced into unintentional worship of demons. Edward Selin, in his annotations on the sacred writings of the Hindus, says that the worship of Shakti is the adoration of power, which the Hindus typify by the yoni, or womb, or vulva, and by leaves and flowers of certain plants thought to resemble it. For them, sex power is Kundalini. Just think about what is being done to children by adults in these awful times, and draw your own conclusions as what God would do about it, and soon. Jesus said in the Gospels, but he that shall scandalize one of these little ones that believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone should be hanged about his neck and that he should be drowned in the depth of the sea. Matthew's Gospel 18:6. In every temple of any importance in India can be found a troop of notes or dancing girls attached, generally procured when quite young. Besides being the acknowledged mistresses of the officiating priests, it is their duty to prostitute themselves in the courts of the temple to all comers, raising funds. A Sunday Observer magazine article in 1992 dealt with Hindu child marriages. It included a picture of an elderly man surrounded with very young Indian girls with the caption, "The transvestite priest of the Hindu goddess Yalama, who sleeps with the girls who have married the goddess." The girls are then passed on to the more prosperous men in the locality. After that, they become temple prostitutes, and the priest will tell them to sleep with anyone who can pay the fee of a few rupees. End of quote. It must be remembered that the spread of Theosophy meant that the amalgamation of Jewish Kabbalah magic and Hindu magic swept over Europe. What a blasphemy it would be to infiltrate, even in the slightest way, the vile paganism of Hinduism into the Catholic Church, the mystical body of Christ. The reign of the Antichrist is most surely very close when, in the atmosphere of New Age influence, Catholic priests run Hindu ashrams disguised as Catholic retreat houses, and Catholic bishops support them. In India, W.B. Griffith, OSB, claimed that the Hindu temple is a sacrament, and he is in admiration for those people who have so penetrated what he called the ultimate mystery. In his book, The Golden String, page 152, he wrote, "Certainly, from a Christian point of view, the importance of Indian philosophy can hardly be overestimated. It marks the supreme achievement of the human mind in the natural order in its quest of a true conception of God." What an extraordinary statement to make when we consider that an authority like Edward Selin informs it is a singular fact that upon the adoration of the procreative and sexual Shakti, or power seen throughout nature, hinges the whole gist of the Hindu faith. The mention there of throughout nature is of interest because it is held that the goal of yoga is to unite man with the pantheistic god of Hinduism, a union they hold that requires a heightened state of consciousness or awareness during which the yogi realizes his oneness with God. For the Hindu, that is salvation. It is being God. You don't have to worry about sexual excesses, as there is no sin, no guilt, no savior. Those priests who claim to be living incarnations of Hindu gods, especially Krishna, exercise unlimited influence over their female votaries. Orgies terminate ceremonies. And Anton LaVey's Satanic Bible gives a list of infernal names, all denoting Satan, that includes Kali, Shiva, Lucifer, Lilith, Pan. According to Randy England's The Unicorn in the Sanctuary, for more than 16 years, Father Hayes has run his Catholic Hindu House of Prayer, financially supported by Catholics of Archbishop Stryker's Kansas City Diocese. One side of his chapel holds a shrine to Shiva, a Hindu god of destruction. Next on the wall is a Buddha, followed by the tabernacle of the Blessed Sacrament. Surely a concrete example of the syncretism that holds that all religions are only reflections of a universal original religion, and has been described by Dr. Hooft as a far more dangerous challenge to the Christian church than full-fledged atheism is ever likely to be. It is the planned religion of the New Age. H.G. Wells, prophet of the New Age, wrote many years ago, the coming world state would be based upon a common world religion. The Toronto Sun on May 23, 1989 carried this item. We read in a UPI dispatch from the United Nations that Britain's Prince Philip yesterday launched a global interfaith organization that will translate into English key texts of world religions. Prince Philip said the publishing venture will involve texts of the Baha'i sect, Buddhism, Islam, Christianity, Hinduism, Judaism, Sikhism, and Taoism. As mentioned already on these tapes, the Lucha Trust has been described as the best organized United Nations accredited Satan cult. Such is the verdict of respected intelligence reports. Prominent front organizations sponsored by the Lucha's Trust include the World Wildlife Fund UK, the Assisi Meeting of Many Strange Religions in October 1986, was strangely financed by the World Wildlife Fund, with which Prince Charles and the Duke of Edinburgh are closely associated. Dr. Rudolf Graeber, Catholic Bishop of Regensburg, in his book Athanasius and the Church of Our Time, first published in 1974, quoted Pierre Virion as follows. In the political sense, synarchy aims at the integration of all the financial and social forces which the world government, under socialist leadership naturally, has to support and promote. Catholicism, like all religions, would consequently be absorbed into universal syncretism. Far from being suppressed, it would be integrated. In its final stage, the completely achieved synarchy would represent the anti-church. End of quote. A real crisis is developing in the world today because the spread of Luciferianism, Satanism, is leading to the threat of wholesale murder. Jesus said of Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning. The perversion of the order tailored a few extracts from his third book, The Mystery of Blood, a simple statement is explained the penetrative rate of the death of an animal, as should therefore be within circle or triangle. He also had a bit of perfect innocence and intelligence, some satisfactibility. And logicians who object to the use of blood have endeavored to replace it with incense. But bloody sacrifice, though more dangerous, is more efficacious. And for nearly all purposes, human sacrifice is the best. End of quote. Such is the makeup of the man, photographs of whom appeared on Beatles record jackets and who, according to Jagger, inspired him. A man who wrote that the orgies of backsliding of drugs, promiscuity, ritual cult violence, and murder. The Gnostics presented the view that if you did not believe that Lucifer is the god of life, of light, and of truth, you are damned. The New Agers hold that if you don't return to your divine essence through Luciferic initiation, you are not only damned, but also targeted for elimination, ethnic cleansing. In The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, Cumbie writes on page 69, the New Age movement has threatened violence and even extermination of Jews, Christians, and Muslims, failing to cooperate with Maitreya, the world teacher, and the new world religion. Barbara Marx Hubbard wrote in 1980, quote, now as we approach the quantum shift from creature-human to co-creative human, the human who is an inheritor of godlike powers, the destructive one-fourth must be eliminated from the social body. We have no choice, dearly beloved. It is a case of the destruction of the whole planet, or the true elimination of the ego-driven godless one-fourth, who at this time of planetary birth can, if allowed to live on, to reproduce their defective disconnection, destroy forever the opportunity of Homo sapiens to become Homo universalis heirs of God. End of quote. People are beginning to realize that the synthesis of Eastern religions and the old mystery teachings, Alice Bailey teachings, would be added to the New Age pedigree. The swastika is common to both. The Pope of Masonry, Pike, in his Lectures of the Aryan, 1873, expressed his belief in the concept of the Aryan master race. Robert Morey, in his The Origins and Teachings of Freemasonry, 1990, wrote that his research had revealed that on July the 6th, 1875, Pike wrote a letter to a Masonic brother in Hawaii, in which he stated that Freemasonry of C.W. Oliver, an authority on all Masonic matters, reveals that the swastika reversed as a symbol for black magic. Madame Blavatsky, in her book The Secret Doctrine, wrote about the fifth race in human civilization, which she termed Aryan. Her Aryan doctrine had spread throughout Germany and Austria by 1914. Hitler used her book. The Aryan swastika is the symbol of the seventh ray of initiation, and Hitler was a sixth ray initiate. It is interesting that the New Age movement has what they call the Seventh Ray Institute, founded by Dorothy Maver, who started bridging esoteric principles into mainstream education. In Hitler's Germany, it was believed that the occult secrets of the German Aryan ancestors had lived on the secrets of the Knights Templars, Rosicrucians, and Freemasons, despite the opposing power of the Catholic Church. In 1907, in Germany, a former Cistercian monk, George Lanz, formed the Order of the New Templars for the purpose of founding a new culture based on occult religion devoted to the purification of an Aryan race that would have psychic powers. This was the origin of the SS that progressed to Luciferic, and historian Gesta Webster, the Boba Mills, whose name in Slavonic signified Friends of God, had originally come to the Balkans from Mesopotamia, northern Syria, bringing their brand of Manichaean dualism. It was the usual rubbish about God having two sons. Satan the elder fell from heaven, created the earth, and must be worshipped and appeased. The satanic myths of the Bogomil cult were expressed in the music dramas of Richard Wagner, whom Hitler admired so much. Like Hitler, Wagner was a Satanist. Wagner had been introduced to Satanism through the Young Europe movement founded by Mazzini. Karl Marx had followed the same path as a young man. Hedar, Shiva, Kali, Pan, Baal, Lilith, Sanat Kumara, even Buddha, has the same meaning as Lucifer, Light Bringer. As St. Paul tells us, Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11, 14. Whatever disguises Satan assumes to seduce humanity, the fruits produced by his followers always give the game away. As Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them. And to the spiritual, Hitler in his Mein Kampf attacks Lenin's Russia on the grounds that the Bolshevik Jews, who, as he correctly believed, governed the infant USS, are natural intellectual leaders. He fits them for their fate as slaves under a lasting despotism, end of quote. Of course, Hitler's Nazis were destined to do the exact same thing in occupied Poland and elsewhere after 1939, systematically deporting and killing leaders of intellectual life. It seems that the same thing is happening in 1992 in Bosnia and other parts of what was Yugoslavia. The seeds of all this go back to January-February 1849, when Friedrich Engels published an article in the New Rheinische Zeitung that Marx had been associated with, calling for the extermination of whole races in Europe. Its authenticity program of nation killing of 1849 decreed that counter-revolutionary nations, mostly Slavs, must perish in the revolutionary Holocaust. The Marx-Lenin hit list for extermination included Basques and Bretons, who had supported royalism in the face of the French Revolution, and Yugoslavs, who were accused of helping to bring reactionary czarism deeper into Europe. In both Lenin's Russia and Hitler's Germany, death camps were common. The notion of killing by category was introduced in both countries. For example, kulaks in Russia, gypsies and Jews in Germany, reactionary peoples to disappear from the earth, and that too is progress. That kind of progress that is so well linked with the devil by the inspired word of God is unfortunately a global threat of the New Age. C. William Smith wrote in the September 1950 issue of the Masonic publication The New Age about, quote, the unification of all races, religions, and creeds, a new religion of the great light, and the American race will be the sixth Aryan civilization for the dawn of the new age of the world, end of quote. What it really means is that the evil occult Satanism that was in Hitler's Germany and in Marxist Russia has been growing all the time and is now rampant in the occultism of the so-called New Age. Maintaining Aryan purity was Hitler's term for extermination, also called a cleansing action. Mass exterminations of whole area populations were labeled resettlements. The new root race that the New Age plan calls for is a goal only accomplished by mass genocide. Alice Bailey, in her Externalization of the Hierarchy, page 548, advocated the use of even nuclear weapons on religious groups who interfere in the political process. In 1982, a publication by Guards in Action Publications in New Mexico, titled Cosmic Countdown, supposedly informed by higher intelligence, had the following. The world should be forewarned, be on the lookout for diseases, suddenly decimating populations already on the verge of starvation in the third world nations. Although these people will eventually be replaced by the new root race about to make its appearance in a newly cleansed world, nevertheless, for the moment, this is tragedy. That moment has obviously passed into oblivion because famine in Somalia or other parts of Africa do not rank as tragedy in the United Nations New Age organization, where nothing of consequence has ever been done for the starving of Africa. Is it possible that famine is even welcomed as a cleansing action, with the words of New Age Barbara Marx Hubbard applied to the situation? If these people were allowed to live on to reproduce their defective disconnection, they would only be helping to destroy forever the opportunity of Homo sapiens becoming Homo universalis, heirs of God. What a blindness. The people who have embraced the philosophy of death should believe that what they are doing will make them heirs of God. Heirs of the devil is the unfortunate truth. What with massive promotion of contraceptive practices, murder by abortion, the Moloch worship permitted by the Jewish Babylonian Talmud, sodomy promulgated, a mockery of God's creative process, euthanasia, destroy life when it becomes vulnerable, and then the logical outcome of this philosophy of death, genocide. Whatever jargon is used by the New Agers, patently, they follow an infernal plan. Whether they know it or not, they are condemned by the word of God, the creator of all life. By their fruits you will know them. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And again, by the envy of the devil, death came into the world, and they follow him that are of his side. Wisdom chapter 2, verse 24-35. Margaret Sanger, pioneer of birth control, founder of Planned Parenthood, was also a top Rosicrucian and a friend of Hitler. Many top Rosicrucians were sponsors of Hitler. In Sanger's Birth Control Review of 1939, there was an article by Dr. Ernest Rudin, a leader in Hitler's Third Reich, titled Eugenic Sterilization, an Urgent Need. 2 months after Germany invaded Poland, Sanger commended the Nazi birth control program in her Birth Control Review of November 1939. During 1914 and 1915, she was intimate with Havelock Ellis, who helped found the Fabian Society. In fact, Sanger was proclaimed Humanist of the Year in 1957. Margaret Sanger has set forth her creed in 1914 as a woman's right to live, to love, to be lazy, to be an unwed mother, to create, to destroy. What she really wanted to destroy was made clear in her first newspaper, The Woman Rebel, in which she wrote, "Birth control appeals to the advanced radical because it is calculated to undermine the Christian churches. I look forward to seeing humanity free someday of the tyranny of Christianity." End of quote. There was expressed a well-known Masonic ideal. The Rosicrucian oath was sworn hatred to the Catholic Church to subvert all its teachings and destroy it. The Rosicrucian Brotherhood in 1617 agreed to maintain strictest secrecy for 100 years and began more or less open propaganda against the Church in 1717. 200 years after that, in 1917, Masonic banners were carried in procession through the streets of Rome to St. Peter's Square on the occasion of what they claim was the second centenary of Freemasonry. These banners depicted Satan defeating St. Michael. Father Maximilian Kolbe witnessed that Masonic procession. Father Kolbe would die in Auschwitz in 1941. He volunteered to take the place of a younger man who was married, who had been condemned to die of starvation. With 9 others, Father Kolbe was locked in a room about 12 feet square. None of them got anything to eat or drink. After 2 weeks, he was still alive with 4 others, as the SS needed a cell, and they were injected with poison acid by these SS men, the people who were into occult Luciferic initiation. Maximilian Kolbe is now a canonized saint of the Catholic Church, and he who saw so much evil and suffered so much said once, "Modern times are dominated by Satan, and will be more so in the future. The conflict with hell cannot be engaged by men, even the most clever. The Immaculata alone has from God the promise of victory over Satan." Saint Maximilian Kolbe has given in these words the perfect answer, because it is God's answer, to all the evils inflicting the people of God in the world. On the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, December 8, 1975, Our Lady gave a message to Father Gobbi that included the following: "I have continued my battle throughout the long years of the Church's pilgrimage on earth. Its greatest victories have been due to my special motherly action. But when in this last century my adversary wanted to challenge me and begin a struggle which through the error of atheism would have seduced and deceived all humanity, from heaven I appeared upon earth as the Immaculate One to comfort you, because it is above all my duty to fight and to conquer the evil one." In the light of that message, we note that in the year 1830, Spartacus Weishaupt died, leaving behind him his diabolical plan and organization of the Illuminati, the beginning of the all-out attack on the Catholic Church and civilization. But in the same year, 1830, Our Lady came from heaven and appeared to a young novice nun, later canonized as St. Catherine Labouré, at the convent of the Sisters of Charity, 140 Rue de Bach, Paris. The chair that Our Lady came to sit on in the sanctuary of the chapel still stands in that sanctuary, and close by is the incorrupt body behind glass of St. Catherine Labouré. The climax of the apparitions in the Rue de Bach was the great apparition of the miraculous medal on November 27, 1830. On that occasion, Catherine saw rings on Our Lady's fingers set with gems from which rays flooded out. "They are the symbols of the graces I shed upon those who ask for them," she was told. Catherine then relates, "At this moment I was so overjoyed that I no longer knew where I was. A frame slightly oval in shape formed around the Blessed Virgin. Within it was written in letters of gold, 'O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee.' Then a voice said, 'Have a medal struck after this model. All who wear it will receive great graces. They should wear it from the neck. Graces will abound for those who wear it with confidence.' At this instant, the tableau seemed to me to turn, and I beheld the reverse of this medal, a large M surmounted by a bar and a cross. Beneath the M were the hearts of Jesus and Mary, the one crowned with thorns, the other pierced with a sword." One aspect of the apparition described by Catherine was, "Her feet rested on a white globe. I saw only half. There was also a serpent, green in color with yellow spots." The doctrine of the Immaculate Conception is symbolically portrayed in the representation of Mary crushing the head of the serpent, a reference to Genesis 3:15, "I will put enmities between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed she shall crush thy head." St. Catherine Labouré also described to her confessor that There were 12 stars on the medal, a reference to the woman of chapter 12 of the Apocalypse, a woman that wore the sun for her mantle, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars about her head. Apocalypse chapter 12, verse 1. A great revival of Marian devotion and theology started with the apparition of the miraculous medal in 1830. It was Our Lady's answer to the beginning of the assault on the Church, Christianity, and Christian civilization. Before Catherine Labouré died in 1876, over 1,000 million medals had been distributed all over the world, and down the years since then, millions of people lived and died who never had a chance to go to Lourdes or Fatima, or to the Rue de Bac, or other famous shrines of Our Lady, and yet because of the miraculous medal, through which so many miracles occurred, have carried with them through life their own very personal Marian shrine. Graces will abound for those who wear it with confidence, was the heavenly promise. What a weapon against evil it is in the times of the Antichrist. Once again, Our Lady made a major move in 1858. In 1858, three works were finished, which between them rejected the idea of absolute authority, rejected the divine creation of man and the human soul, and rejected the immutability and stability of aught save matter. These works were Mill's Essay on Liberty, Darwin's work on the Origin of Species, and Karl Marx's criticism of political economy, the forerunner of Das Kapital. They were published in 1859, and their theories have since sought to dominate mankind. But the Queen of Heaven forestalled them with her apparitions at Lourdes in 1858, which illuminated the darkness of the age by demonstrating the reality of the spiritual and the supernatural. It was just 4 years after the solemn definition of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady as a truth of divine revelation by Pope Pius IX that Our Lady appeared at Lourdes. The apparitions of Our Lady at Lourdes and the miracles that have flowed from that place certainly manifested divine approval, not only for the Church's solemn definition of the Immaculate Conception doctrine, but also for the papal infallibility which gave it to the Church, and the great truths of the Catholic faith that are so strongly connected with the Immaculate Conception, like the doctrine on original sin, the Incarnation, and the Redemption.